Let us pray. God of love, we wait for your coming. We long for your presence. We turn our lamps with you. Come, Lord, speak with us today in your word. Invite us into the hall of your light and warmth. Amen. A reading from Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Revere the Lord and serve God in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore we will also serve the Holy One, for Yahweh is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for God is a holy God and a jealous God. God will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then God will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve God." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will serve, and God will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. The Word of Life. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 15, found in the blue hymnal on page 747. Who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?
One who walks blamelessly,
and does what is right, and speaks truth from the heart. Who does not slander with the tongue, and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up a reproach against a neighbor?
In whose eyes are reproaches despised, but who honors it to fear the Lord?
Who does not put out the money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent?
The one who does these things shall never be moved.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God, as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The realm of heaven is like this. 10 bridesmaids went out to visit to see the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones didn't think to bring oil for their lamps, but the wise ones brought extra flasks of oil with their lamps. Now the bridegroom was delayed. And they all grew drowsy and slept. But then at midnight, the cry came, 'The bridegroom is here. Come out and meet him.' So they all got up and trimmed their lamps. And then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, 'Can we borrow some of your oil? Because our lamps are going out.' But they said to them, 'No, there won't be enough for us to share, both for you and us. You'll have to go to the dealers and buy some for yourself.' So they went. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and the others went in. And then later, they returned. But the doors were shut, and they knocked and said, 'We've come, let us in.' And the host said, 'I don't know who you are. So keep awake. Stay alert. You do not know when the day or the hour will come.'" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' followers were pretty sure that he was going to come back. And so they were waiting for the second coming. 40 years later, they were beginning to be pretty anxious about that. So Matthew picked up on this story that Jesus told once about these people who were waiting. And he made this great story about waiting with patience for the second coming. That worked for Matthew 40 years after Jesus died. But you know what? I have a hard time imagining that Jesus was all that preoccupied with the second coming when he wasn't even done with the first. I have a hard time imagining that he would think it's a big deal that people feel anxious about the timing of the second coming when it's something that 2,000 years later and counting still hasn't happened. What is it that we need to know about waiting for something that's thousands of years in the future? And besides, he said nobody knows the time of the day of the Lord. So how could there be a delay when there isn't even a schedule? So this story about the bridegroom being delayed makes sense for Matthew, but I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he first told that story. Well, it's a story about people. It's not a tract about a theological concept. It's about real people who have this experience. There's 10 people who are going to a wedding, and it just so happens that we have those 10 people with us today. We always have those 10 people with us. And most of the time, there are a lot of people who are saying, "So, who are those people and why are they with us?" Well, once every 3 years, it comes around to the lectionary and it makes sense for them to be with us. They are the wise and foolish maidens right here in our tapestry. And over here on this side, we have the foolish maidens who have no light. And over here are the wise maidens who have light. But they're real people. So let's bring them with us and go through this story as people. Having an experience. There's 10 of us waiting for this wedding. And we are waiting and we are waiting. And the bridegroom takes forever. In fact, he takes all day long. It's into the night. We've gone to bed and we're still waiting. Now, we didn't count on that. By the time midnight rolls around and he finally shows up, half of us are running out of oil in our lamps. They've been burning so long. Now it turns out that some of us thought ahead and brought extra oil, and some of us didn't. So the ones who didn't ask their sisters, can we borrow some oil because we're running out? And their sisters say, no. Ouch. I don't know about you, but when I hit that part in the story, there's this little hook, there's this little barb in my heart that goes, ooh, ow, that's got to hurt. What do you mean, no? You don't want to share your oil with your sisters, your friends? So, these poor ladies over here have been left out because they didn't have enough. How did Jesus feel about people who don't have enough? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the realm of heaven. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Well, apparently these ladies didn't think so. They say, no, we can't share with you because then we would run out and there wouldn't be enough for both of us. How did Jesus feel about running out? They brought him 2 loaves, 5 loaves, and 2 fish, and it was enough for thousands. Ask and you will receive, he said. Seek and you will find. If you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, that's enough to move mountains. Well, apparently these ladies didn't think so. So they sent the other 5 off to the hardware store to buy some oil, and they go into the party. So there we are at the party, having a good time with the groom, whooping it up, and it's way late, the middle of the night now, when there's a knock at the door, and there's our other friends outside saying, "Let us in!" And the host says, "I don't even know who you are." Ouch. Seriously? You're going to do that at your wedding? You've invited 10 people and then half of them you lock out? This is a small town. They're not strangers. They're your friends. And you've shut them out? How does Jesus feel about people who were left out? "Let the little children come to me. Go into the lanes and the alleys and the roadways and bring in the blind and the lame and the poor, for my house shall be filled." Well, apparently this groom didn't think so. So here we are, we wise maidens, sitting at the party. We're enjoying the lights and the warmth. But after a while, you look around and you notice that half your friends are not there. You were counting on 9 friends to be there, and only 4 of them are there. The other 5 are locked out because they didn't have oil. And they didn't have oil because I didn't share my oil with them. I could have, but I didn't want to because I was afraid I was going to run out. Where does that come from? I could have shared my lamp with them. You know that one lamp has enough light for 2 people? You can share your light and not have less. But I didn't do that. And now half the people I wanted to dance with are not at the party. Now who feels foolish? I think that's why Jesus told that story. It's not a tract about eschatological hope. It's a human story about a human experience that allows us to notice deep in our hearts that we know perfectly well that it does not feel right when we refuse to share. As it turns out, there is a difference between happiness and unhappiness, and it's not being wise or foolish. It's the difference between being fearful and being generous. All of those bridesmaids were foolish. All 10 of them. Half of them were foolish because they didn't think to bring oil. Half of them were foolish because they thought to bring oil and they only thought to bring it for themselves. It never occurred to them that they were going to need to share. That's foolish. They planned from the very beginning to not share. There's some interesting thing about this tapestry. Some interesting things that are here. You notice our sisters over here, they look pretty glum. They are pretty depressed. They're gloomy. It's dark. They don't look happy. It's interesting to have these 5 depressed ladies looming over me every single week. But now look at these ladies over here. They have the light, don't they? But you know what I notice? They don't look any happier. They're looking up and they're looking down, but I don't see them smiling. I don't see them looking at each other or reaching out to each other or embracing each other. I don't see hands raised in jubilation. I see them getting what they want, but they don't look happy. Maybe they've discovered that the difference between happiness and unhappiness is not the difference between being wise or foolish. It's the difference between fear and generosity. They hung on to their oil and it didn't make them happy. There's another interesting thing about this tapestry. These ladies over here have no light. They don't have any lamps. They don't have any oil. These sisters, they have light. But look, they don't have lamps either. They don't have any oil. Where did they get that light? They didn't have to go out and buy it at the hardware store like they made these friends do. Where did they get that? The flame falls like leaves from the tree of life into their hands and their hearts. It's a gift. It just falls like leaves. You've been outside. You've raked your yard. You know you could rake up every leaf in your yard and put them in bags and set them out by the road, and tomorrow that many leaves again will fall. God's blessings will not stop. There is no such thing as running out. There's no such thing. They made that up. I don't know how many times I have heard good Christian people say, well, you don't want to give too much to the needy because then you'd be needy too. Isn't that pretty much word for word what those foolish wise maidens said? Oh, we can't give away our oil because we'll all run out. The biblical standard for giving is 10%. It's enough to be serious, not enough to hurt. In order to give away enough to become even remotely needy, you'd have to give like 80 or 90% of your entire income and all your assets, right? You'd have to give a lot to actually be needy. American Protestants average 2.5%. Maybe 3%. We are so far away from running out. It's almost blasphemous to even say that sentence. You can't give too much or else you'll be needy too. There's a theological word for that. Bullarchy. There's no such thing. They made that up. That is not the voice of wisdom. It's the voice of fear. And it's not wise to let fear rule your decisions. It won't make you happy either. There's one other really interesting thing about this tapestry. Besides the leaves, maybe my second favorite thing is the extra hand. See it? Way over there on the right, some of you might not be able to see it. There's this hand reaching in from outside the frame. Somebody out there needs light. And the cool thing is, one of these sisters has begun to figure out that hoarding her oil and keeping her light all to herself does not make her happy. And it looks like maybe she's about to turn around and give that light away to that hand like she refused to do a couple of hours ago to her friends. Because now she has seen the light. And she knows that the purpose of that light, the only reason it's there, is to give it away. And maybe it looks like that's what she's about to do. You can't tell. She hasn't done it yet. I'm waiting to see if she does. And I will notice. Because reaching into the frame from outside the frame of St. Matthew's United Methodist Church, there are hands reaching out for light. There are people who need the light of God. They really need that. This is not about you getting into heaven, okay? You're already there. They need the light of God. And we have the opportunity to give it to them. By the ministries of this church and by the things that we do, the ministries in our lives. That's how we will see if that sister sees the light enough to give it away or keeps it to herself. This week, we're asking everybody, we're being asked, all of us, even me, to make our financial commitments for 2015. And this next Sunday, we'll bring them all here and we are going to have a big party, just like in the story. And we're going to all bring our commitments forward, whether you have a little tiny bit of one drop of oil in your lamp or you have entire 55-gallon barrel drums, I don't care. You bring them in, we will have a party, and then we're going to go to every single room in the church and we're going to see how your money gets turned into ministry and that gets turned into how we put the light in people's lives. The way that happens is that we pay for it to happen. Now, when you make your decision about your 2015 pledge, you can listen to the voice of fear that says, "Whoa, you can't give too much or you'll be needy yourself." As long as you remember that that's not wise, it's not true. You can hang on to your stuff, but ask these sisters, they'll tell you it won't make you happy. Jesus talked about money more than anything else, not because he was good at guilt trips, but because he knew it was the one thing that more readily gets in the way of our being happy. Because we're addicted to it. We can't let go of it. And happiness is on the other side of it. And he's just inviting us. So he tells this story in which we realize, without realizing, that we realize how wrong it feels not to completely empty our lamp into somebody else's and trust that the blessing will be given. We're going to be all right. With your money, with your time, with your talents, with your passions, with your prayers, Jesus is offering this invitation. Don't wait for the second coming. This one is good enough. Because you see, it's a wedding feast. It's a party. It's God's wedding, after all. It's God who is marrying us, who is promising us loving faithfulness forever. It's our wedding. And we want everybody there. That is what makes us happy. That is real wisdom. Can you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the blessings you have given us. Our gifts and talents, our money and possessions, our time, our care. We pray for the wisdom to give them all away. God of love, we thank you for your grace.
And we pray for the faith to receive your blessing, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.